And a pleasant good morning. You're listening to Inside Agriculture from the Meridian Manufacturing Studios. While producers struggling with low grain prices and reduced incomes are resorting to extreme measures to stay afloat, producers are cutting expenses every way possible. That according to National Farmers Union President Roger Johnson.
They may go to a seed that has a single trait or no trait in order to cut costs, because seed is a very large part of the overall cost structure that farmers face. They're going to cut back on fertilizer, I think without question. Some of the nutrients can be cut back more than others without immediately impacting yield. Most of them have already quit buying new machinery or equipment.
Rental rates and land values are also taking a hit, further hurting farm income. Johnson says given the current situation, farmers are going to lose money this year.
Because a 50% reduction in prices equates to about very close to a 50% reduction in their total income on that farm. And most farmers over time have about 80% of their total income expressed as cost of production. So if you take half of the total income away, you now are deep in the red.
And, of course, Johnson says not farming a piece of land or for a year or two is not an option, since maintenance costs like controlling weeds and pests will continue to rise as land is neglected. Agritourism may help some farms closer to major cities, but not most, especially in the vast expanses between Midwestern cities.
You got a whole lot of spacing between the ones that are there. And so those options, well, they fit for some folks. They don't fit for most of them. What you generally see is more folks scrambling to find jobs, to do some sort of off-farm income to provide for family living expenses while they hopefully ride it out.
He adds the bottom line is that producers must cut costs sharply to stay in business, with an obvious downstream impact on implement dealers and seed and fertilizer retailers and the major firms that supply them. Well, we're looking at what is causing the problems with farm income. And, of course, we all really know that it's all commodity prices. But there's some things going on in the rural areas, mainly Iowa, and anywhere where we're talking renewable fuels, where we could push things the right direction. Well, we'll find out if we've got that answer coming up. We're going to talk with the Renewable Fuels Association Executive Director in Iowa right after this. You're listening to Inside Agriculture on 910 Classic Country, KCJB in Minot, as well as Ag News 890 and Farm News and Real Country Thunder 106.1, Lisbon and Fargo. While the Iowa Renewable Fuels Association Executive Director testified before a Senate Subcommittee on Rural Development yesterday, Monty Shaw told lawmakers renewable fuels are one of the best tools available to promote rural development.
Growing up on a farm in Iowa, I can tell you that despite years of talk about value-added agriculture that stemmed out of the farm crisis of the 1980s, nothing really changed in our part of the country until the renewable fuel standard kicked production into high gear in the 2000s. Then the American farm economy went on an amazing 8-year run of prosperity.
Shaw claims no other efforts to improve rural economies compare to the impact of renewable fuels. However, he says in late 2013, the Obama administration proposed renewable fuel standard blending targets far below statutory levels, and the rural economic fallout was both predictable and painful.
The last 2 years have seen a dramatic downturn in the health of rural America. Corn prices have plummeted, land values fell, farm income plunged, and agribusinesses have laid off workers by the thousands. And that's just in Iowa. Today, as farmers look toward the future, it is more often with angst than it is with optimism.
Shaw went on to say that if allowed, renewable fuels can play a quick and positive role on impacting rural communities. Also, Iowa Farm Bureau President Craig Hill told told the Senate subcommittee yesterday that the farm economy is facing many challenges. Hill says the biggest challenge is lower commodity prices, which force farmers to find a new and innovative way to remain profitable. Hill says, along with economic challenges, farmers are also dealing with rules and regulation that hamper productivity.
We're going to start losing business.
With new rules such as Waters of the U.S. and the Clean Power Plan and the decreased RFS, there is a growing disconnect between those that write the rules in D.C. and those that depend on the strong, vibrant rural communities of America. As farmers undertake these challenges, we recognize the vast majority of farm families rely on off-farm income to diversify their risk and keep the family economically viable. That's why it's so important that we have vibrant rural economies to sustain those off-farm incomes and their sources.
Hill also explained that Iowa Farm Bureau has invested in entrepreneurs to help them develop products and services.
One of those companies was Harris Vaccines. Harris Vaccines leveraged a small business innovation research funding and our equity investment dollars from the Iowa Farm Bureau to create a new synthetic vaccine platform. And this vaccine platform played a critical role in rapidly responding to both swine flu outbreak of 2008 and also played a role in the PERS outbreak of 2013-2014, two devastating disease outbreaks in swine production.
Hill said the American Farm Bureau Federation has developed a survey to evaluate programs administered by USDA, and the goal of the survey is to pinpoint what's working and what can be improved in these programs. Also, a recent study commissioned by media group JL Pharmacus details how farmers are scrambling to address low commodity prices. The study results announced yesterday include comments from 160 farmers, primarily from the Midwest. The study found that half of the farmers surveyed are seeking off-farm employment. Meanwhile, 74% of the respondents said they plan to switch to generics or change brands of crop protection products, while many said they'd reduce fertilizer practices. The farmers also indicated an increased attention to marketing to raise revenue. Further, 34% of the respondents stated that they will not make new equipment purchases this year. Millennium Research conducted that survey for JL Pharmacus. A follow-up survey is planned for later this year. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk with Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota, also Senator Heidi Heitkamp of North Dakota. We'll do that right after these words. Well, before we took the break, said we're going to come back, talk with Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota, as well as Senator Heidi Heitkamp of North Dakota. While the U.S. Senate Subcommittee on Rural Development and Energy held a hearing stressing the importance of federal rural development programs yesterday. And, of course, we discussed that with Iowa's Renewable Fuels Executive Director. And, of course, now we're going to North Dakota and Minnesota. The senators expressed their concerns about housing issues, including having sufficient housing for expanding companies in places like northwest Minnesota and northeastern North Dakota. Minnesota's Senator Amy Klobuchar spoke of the critical need for housing to help businesses thrive.
We're going to start losing business because we don't have enough workers, and it's going to go to foreign companies if we can't fill these jobs. Yeah. And the housing is such a critical part of it.
Klobuchar says building senior housing could free up other housing units for younger families.
One of the things that a few of the mayors have brought up to me is this idea that they would build more housing for seniors, condo housing, apartments in the towns. And then that housing stock would then open up that the seniors are currently living in. And that would then be maybe rehab some for families with children and otherwise.
North Dakota Senator Heidi Heitkamp explained that lack of housing makes it hard to fill job openings.
Housing is absolutely critical.
Good.
We've done all this wonderful work in creating primary sector jobs. Maybe there's 20 jobs in the community. We can't fill them. because people can't find affordable housing where they live.
Heitkamp went on to say that developing properties is a very important aspect of getting housing in rural areas.
When I talk to people, it's not so much building the home, it's the cost of development, whether it's sewer, whether it's city water and sewage, whatever it is, and building that infrastructure and look at regional infrastructure development is absolutely critical if we're going to meet the needs. And so if you take nothing away from this, take back housing, housing, housing. Because if you said what's the largest critical need in my rural communities, I would tell you it's affordable and available housing.
That's Senator Heidi Heitkamp of North Dakota. Also, Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota. Well, we're going to take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some cover crop issues. Not issues, but some help that you're going to get in the livestock operation out there. And, yep, we're going to talk cover crops. We'll do that right after this. Well, as we wrap up what's going on inside agriculture, and, of course, we're going to go out to the farm. Actually, we're going to a livestock farm. There's an initiative in Iowa to plant more cover crops to help with erosion and water quality. Now, in Adair County, Iowa, there's a farmer who's trying to get another benefit from cover crops. David Geiger has more in this report.
I can't believe how they...
A couple weeks before planting starts up in Iowa, the farm of Doug Holliday is already bursting with green. He's trying something new, using cereal rye to graze cattle.
So much of this country used to be in pasture. It's since been put into crop. So now we're back to using cover crops to hold the soil in place. But we're looking at it at the other side as a economics of turning the cattle out and letting them walk it off and graze it themselves without us having to harvest it and then feed it to them and stretch our pasture that we do have a little further.
The cover crop was planted last fall, and it can be a financial risk when it's starting out.
Some years, you know, in the past, it's been very dry and it hasn't took off. We've spent thousands of dollars and it's never grown in the past. Pretty costly experiment, so we're back trying it again.
Holliday's cow-calf operation is grazing 130 pairs in this field. He hopes the 160 acres of cereal rye will last about 2 months.
Got a milk mustache on him.
Then, depending on how dry it is, he'll plant a soybean crop or hybrid sedan grass in June. Holliday rents this area, but says there's an aesthetic benefit. The landowners love the green fields, but it's also important to his soil. His hilly ground is prone to erosion.
We're putting roots in the ground. We're holding the soil in place. That's what we're trying. So all them roots, you know, that just holds the soil. We're hoping that it captures the nutrients. You know, it's going to take time to develop the science and what it's going to do for us. I know the Iowa legislature's tossing around all kinds of ideas right now, and they don't know which way to go.
David Geiger reporting.
Well, I'll tell you what, sounds like we're going to milk the cows before long. And good report from Iowa out on a cattle farm, on a ranch, so to speak. Well, the world's largest retail chain is going to transition to cage-free eggs by 2025. Bloomberg reports Walmart and its Sam's Club warehouse chain will require that its egg suppliers adopt United Egg Producers rules or an equivalent set of standards for cage-free housing. The company says compliance will be checked annually by a third party. Walmart sells more groceries than any other company in the country. The new guidelines will apply to the retailers' more than 5,000 stores in the United States. The move by Walmart puts more pressure on the egg industry, which is facing a costly transition to cage-free housing. The United Egg Producers Group says only 6% of U.S. hens are currently raised without cages. Well, there it is. Inside Agriculture. It's going on this Thursday. I'm Farm Director Terry Loomis. Stick around. ABC News coming up right after this.